I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends his Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, praise God. It's good to be with you today. Looking outside, I know the digits are going to drop into single numbers as far as the weather goes. It'll be really frail. So I'm hoping the snow we're getting right now doesn't amount to anything. I just want to praise God for each of you. You know you are the backbone of this Catholic radio through your love, prayers, and financial support. You have kept us on the air all these years. And without you, and I mean this sincerely, without any exaggeration, we wouldn't be on the air. My voice would be silenced, as well as all of my broadcasters. But because of your faithfulness in all those ways, for you who believe in the power of our God, believe in his love, his mercy, his redemption, his peace, and the power that he gives each of us from baptism to be all that we are called to be. And so today I remind you once again that we are live streaming, and I ask that you would be so good to hit your share buttons today. And I really feel it's important to reiterate that. I really do. Hit your share button. Let this word go out to others. If you believe that what you have been receiving, that's what we're called to give away. Okay, that's a gospel principle. It's God's principle. For those who have been given much, much will be required. And he says he gives that we might give to others. So I ask you to hit your share buttons today. I want to praise and thank God. It looks like so many of the fires are contained now in Los Angeles and different parts of California, you know, Pasadena and Altadena and all the ones that were so out of control. I asked last week when we began our program that we would continue to pray for all those that have lost lives, lost all their belongings, lost their things that are closest and dearest to their heart that can't be replaced. I know that. I experience my own home being burnt to the ground. I understand what it's like. And I can tell you to this day, to this very day, all those pictures and mementos, all the things from my children when they were little, all the beautiful, wonderful pictures I had of my mom, who was my best friend in the whole world, and my greatest cheering section. You know, my mother was a funny, not funny, ha-ha, but funny in her own way. Like, she really thought, and believe me, I've told you this before, I was a hard-headed kid who walked to their own drum. And at one point, through most of my life, even into my adult life, I didn't have, if I had any relationship at all with my father, it was not a good one. Oh, I loved him. I never quite understood him. But then he told me all my life, who are you and where did you come from? So I guess, you know, through the grace of God, in later years when God really spoke to my heart, when I had a deeper walk in the Spirit of God, when I was redeemed through His grace to come back into the fullness. I never left the church, but I guess the church sort of, you know, I had been married and divorced and excommunicated, but I stayed after I had this beautiful reversion back into my faith. I stayed the whole time after that. And through that, and through the magnificent gift that God has blessed my life with, bringing me back into the fullness of the church, so His grace and mercy and redemption, it was through that, that encountering, a special encounter I had that brought me back home. And so I am forever grateful. And during that time, we had a fire and we were burnt out. But praise be to God, all my children were saved. But I know, as I said, to this very day, my mother passed away. She was only 59 years old. And I was pregnant with, you know, they call them A, B, and C, with my son Danny. I was pregnant with Kristen, the first of the four littles, as we called them. And I wouldn't have given anything. All my pictures of my mother, my childhood pictures, they were all gone. All ashes. And through God's grace, you know, He told me, and I began to realize that of all the things in the house, the only thing, as much as I love my home, and I did, that could always be replaced. But those pictures, like, I don't have a picture of my mother today that I have a picture that I had. I have a picture that my one of my brothers gave me of my mother. In those days, they didn't take a lot of pictures. And I had taken pictures of her, but they were lost in the fire. And I cherish those pictures. A picture of my mother holding me when I was just a baby, a toddler. So those things, you know, when my mother died, she was, you know, just a very, very simple woman. And everything she owned was in a little bag about that big. And all it held in it were her little Bible, a small little, you know, Bible like that, her rosaries, and a couple little medals. And that was it. And these are things you can never get back. So, and praise be to God, I did not lose a life or a loved one. So I know how I felt when I lost everything else that I had in the house. I didn't even have shoes on my feet when the fire engines were trying to get a control of the fire. And so I can't even imagine what it'd be like not only to lose, you know, the things that I experience, your home, your furniture, your belongings, but to lose a life through a fire. And so it really, I ask you to continue to pray for all those people who have lost loved ones and misplaced. I know what it was like for that. Didn't know where we were going to go, where we were going to live. But this, and I didn't even have full insurance at the time. So, you know, things happen in life and you deal with them, but to lose your loved ones, can't get them out in time, or they were alone, or there was nobody to help them get out, that is horrendous. I can't even wrap my mind around it. It's hard enough when we lose the ones we love through old age or through sickness. That's devastating. To, you know, whatever the age, a young person, an older person, but to lose them like that in the fire must be absolutely, you know, beyond devastated. So please keep all those people in prayer, I ask. And I praise and thank God for you, because I know you will. I've never asked anything on this air in all the years, never once, that I know that you have not complied. And if I've asked you to pray for something, no question, you were praying. That's why I always say I have the best audience any radio broadcaster could ever hope to have, let alone have. And so when I tell you I love you, and then I say I mean it, because I want you to know, I say it from the bottom of my heart. I do apologize about Tuesday. I, you know, look forward to every time being with all of you over the airwaves, live streaming. I think we've built up an amazing camaraderie with each other. Those of you that I never met, that I get texts from or cards from or letters or remarks on my chats or on my Facebook, it blesses my heart in more ways than I could ever explain. It encouraged me. It continues to encourage me to do the work that God has called me to do, imperfect as I am. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. But it's through God's grace. And the way I see God's grace working in you blesses me, a double blessing. So again, I just want to praise and thank God for each and every one of you, and apologize for any inconvenience. This so happened to be, it was out of my control completely. One of my engineers couldn't come in, and without an engineer, I can't do the program. So I was going to do it at home, but then another issue came up a couple hours after I said, put it out that I will do an hour from my home. And then I wasn't able to do that either, but for a different set of reasons. And so I just want to praise God. He knows where we're supposed to be at every moment of every time. And I needed to be somewhere else at that time. And little did I know. But God is an awesome God. He's the God of all time. Don't ever feel that you are so filled with regret that you haven't been able to be where you wanted to be at a certain time. God's Lord over time, and if he's Lord over our lives, then we have to recognize that too. Oftentimes when I've been caught in, you know, a terrible, jam, like roads were blocked, or there was an accident or whatever, and I had to be somewhere, and I know I'm looking at the clock, I know I'm not going to make it, I begin to praise God. I begin always to praise Him and thank Him, Lord, I don't know what Your plan is here, but I trust Your plan more than mine. And I always look like perhaps God was saving me from an accident. Perhaps, He had a certain plan for me to be in another place at another time, and that was His perfect will. So whatever it is, I always begin to praise God. And the minute you start to praise God, you know how it goes. No matter how frustrated you are, you know you're going to be late for something. And if you've done due diligence and you're trying to be somewhere and taking all the steps to be there on time, then you know that God has a different plan. And the minute you begin to praise Him for His plan, you know, you have a peace and He's in control. And I'll tell you, I am certainly looking forward to the 20th. I ask that you, all of you, would continue to pray and keep our incoming president safe, not only for Donald J. Trump, but every member of his family. I also want to praise and thank God that that he's a voice of reckoning, and I know that he was very instrumental for bringing this hopefully ceasefire, and above all else, finally, after all this time, getting our hostages back. And I know some of them will come back in body bags, and it breaks my heart. But I praise God that when he came on the scene, that he voiced unequivocally that these hostages better be back by the time his inaugural day comes. And it looks like, you know, I know President Biden said he's been working on it for, you know, all this time, and I'm sure that he has. But all I do know is that once Trump had made the statement that he made, things really went full blast into action to bring that end about, and there's nobody could have any doubt about that. So, my brothers and sisters, I praise and thank God for this country that has probably the only one that has such a peaceful transfer of leadership in our country, that we have that the people have the freedom to have their voices heard. And I just praise and thank God for that. We take so much for granted. So I just, for all of us, I'm beyond grateful. I also want to say to you to please pray for Father, you know, I've told you to pray for Father Roche's father, John Roche, that he's been ill. And he took a really rapid decline. And I talked to Father almost on a daily basis. And we're not talking on a basis, we're texting back and forth. And so let me tell you to please pray, particularly these next couple of days. They're not sure Mr. Roche will make it through the next couple of days. He's on his way, and Father told me last night that his father was calling out to Jesus yesterday. And as hard as it is to say goodbye to the ones we love, when we know because of our faith and our hope and our trust in God that with the grace of God, we will see them again. A goodbye is more of a farewell. Goodbye to physical presence being with us. But nonetheless, we are built to last forever. And so we're hardwired for it to last forever. So we know that we will. That doesn't take away the pain or the heartache of losing the one you love ever. But it's consolation and hope that the next time we see them will be forever. Always keep that in mind. The next time we see our loved ones, it will be forever. So I want to praise and thank God, and I lift the whole Roche family to you. And I pray for not only Father Dermot, but I pray for Patrick and Tommy and John Joe. I just pray for Maureen, who's on her way back home. She'll fly in tomorrow. And I pray especially for his bride, Maureen Roche. Some call her Mary, but her name is Maureen. And they've been married for so, so long. And they've never, you know, they just have a beautiful relationship. And not to get real personal, but he called her from the hospital. And Father happened to be in the room and sort of left the room to give them some privacy. He was with his mother, and he went in the room, but he could hear them speaking to each other about, you know, how Mrs. Roche missed him as he was still in the hospital. He's on hospice. And how much they loved each other, and they were giving it, mwah, throwing each other kisses. And it was a heartbreaking for me to hear. But the beauty of the relationship is one that, as heartbreaking it is to hear, it fills those cracks in the heart that we feel when we lose somebody we love. And that's filled in by God's love, and the cracks are removed, and the heart is whole and at peace, knowing that we will see each other again. That's the beautiful gift of our faith. Life doesn't end. It changes, and it changes into eternal life. So again, please pray for all of that. I will go into the scriptures in a moment. I don't have my phone with me, so I'm going to, you know, bring up the gospel in a moment after the break. But I do want to announce Rekindle the Fire. This is a pretty brand new retreat. I just started it. This will be my third. And I invited Monsignor Stephen McHenry to be my guest, and he will be doing the retreat with me. And what a beautiful, not because he's a friend of mine, but what a beautiful holy priest he is. God has blessed me mightily with all the priests that he has surrounded me in my life, even when I was little. I remember the priest, Father Wahuli, the Redemptorist priest at St. Edward's Catholic, Roman Catholic Church. Not St. Edward's, St. Boniface. St. Edward's was where I was baptized, but St. Boniface, that's where I made my first Holy Communion and all. And I remember him to this day, Father Wahuli. He's the priest that always winked at me every time we had my CCD or whatever you call it, all we called it was religious ed in those days. And every time I was going for my instructions to become, you know, recipient of the Most Blessed Sacrament, my first Holy Communion, he used to always say, good morning, sunshine, every time. I could pass him in the hallway, or he'd come in the room, he'd say hello to everybody, and he'd look directly at me, even in the whole room, and he'd say, good morning, sunshine. And I never realized it. Father Dermot actually picked it up. He said, that's why you probably wink at everybody. That priest made such an impact on you. He's probably right. I am a winker. But I want to invite you personally to rekindle the fire. It's at Mount Vernon Retreat House. It is in the Family Life Center, not upstairs, but in the up the road, but in the Family Life Center. The Lord laid on my heart when I did this. I put it in place of when I closed out Women of Fire. The Lord laid on my heart to bring the men, invite men and women for these days and these times to experience the fire of His love. So I did, and I called it Rekindle the Fire, and what I put on the flyer was calling all men and women seeking a new release of the Holy Spirit in their lives, turning a spark into a burning fire in my heart. And you can register online. Just go to malvernretreat.com or call 610-644-0400. I've been a retreat director over there for many, many, many years and put on a lot of retreats there. And so I ask you to, you know, come and see and be a part of this new endeavor where God called me to do this for men and women. So husbands and wives, what a wonderful time. It's like a Lumen Christi. You can come together and you can share what the Lord has done in each of your lives and how He's spoken to each of your hearts, and share about that privately when you're together. So I'm going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. Don't go away.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again. You are listening to In the Silence of My Heart. I just invited everybody to join me on this radio program, and I also tell you please to hold on here. I'll tell you, praise be to God. I just want to ask all of you to continue pray for a mighty blessing on this Catholic radio, on our Facebook Live. I just praise and thank God for each of you, and there are some things that we probably really need to get going and updated better and so forth and so on. And I trust God will bring that all about, but sometimes we have a couple little glitches, and I am trying to bring this up online for you. I want to also announce that next Tuesday, I have two of my friends, special guest, and they are very close to my heart, and I think they have a mighty work that they're doing for the Lord, and it's Charlie and Jennifer Reed, and they are going to be Tuesday's program from 5 to 6. So again, Charlie and Jennifer Reed, we're going to talk all about marriage. And they've got a beautiful ministry, two marriages. And so I would hope that you would join in. And I just want to give a quick, for everybody who happens to be listening, and watching. Let's see. Trisha LaPerch, Holy Spirit, just put it on my heart. Anthony DeBellis, for you and Maria to go to Melbourne. Wow. Trisha, you mean I'll finally get a chance to meet these beautiful people that I talk to on the air? That would be awesome. And I got a text off of Anthony not long ago saying he hopes to be able to meet me. Well, I hope to be able to meet him too. So I'm looking forward to that. That'd be great if they can. I ask everybody to also pray for Harriet Condra. She's also lifting up all those in California are suffering from the fires, but also for her prayer request for Lisa Roman, who's suffering again with cancer. And I would just ask in a special way that I don't know, Don, I don't know. She goes, Kathleen, we're blessed to have you. Well, I'm always blessed by all of you. And I'm so happy to see that all of you, each and every one of you, have been praying for all those and all the different ways they're suffering in California. Nita says, great to see you today. We have the best host on his... in his sign, Catholic Radio. Well, thank you, thank you, thank you. Now prayers continue to go to help the folks affected by the fires. So, Terry Kubek, good afternoon. Kathleen, blessed to be here listening to you today. I can't pull the gospel up because I don't have my phone with me and I can't get into it. So going to ask Maureen out there, let's see, if she can print the gospel for me today, and I will read it to you. So, Renee, many blessings, Kathleen. Trisha, looking beautiful. Well, thank you. I'll say that. How's that? Thank you. Sheila, God bless all of you. Also blessed to be here today. You know, all of you who are here today, I don't know what I said in particular today, Anthony, but I'm glad you needed to hear it. Derek, across the pond, as he says, he's across the pond, and it's always good to have him on, and he's just a beautiful son of God, and he's blessed my life as we've got to know each other, him and his beautiful wife and family. So let's see, my cousin, Julie Owens, some of my family lives in L.A. We'll be praying for everyone. God bless and hugs and love. So my brothers and sisters, all of us are called, and we're called especially, to be all that God calls us to be. And we can't do that on our own, no matter how many rosaries we say. That helps us to become better Christians, because Our Lady is the greatest, you know, she is the powerhouse. And she takes us right to the pure side of her Son Jesus, who is our Redeemer, who is our Lord and our God and our Savior. And it's hard to turn down a request, isn't it? We know that even it was Mary, even though Jesus said it was not his time yet to perform a miracle, it's not yet my time. She knew that he would respond to her prayer for others. And first prayer, the first miracle, rather, was the miracle of Cana. We'll talk probably a little bit about that when Charlie and Jen are on Tuesday at the 5 to 6 hour. We can read all the books. We can go to, I'm a retreat director, we can go to all the great retreats that are around. But what we have to remember is that the only way we can become all that God calls us to be is yielding to his grace. We can't do it on our own. We can't muster it up. We can't do all these great acts. We can't do all these wonderful prayers. They help us. But it helps Christ's life in us to reign in our lives. It's all him. It's all about him and not about us. It's Jesus. And it's his grace, his mercy, his love. And so I say so many times, we have to yield to his grace. I know all the areas of my own life that, you know, I could try as much as I wanted to, and I know without the Lord there's no way, shape, or form that I could accomplish what he's called me to do. You know, I could do good things. We all can. But the fruit of the Spirit is to bear fruit that will last. And that is only produced by the Holy Spirit in our lives. That's only produced in our lives by God. By our baptism, he gave us himself. You know, third person, the Blessed Trinity, God himself. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are triune God, three persons in one, all God, fully and completely God. And Jesus, fully God, fully man. And because of our own weaknesses and, you know, our failures to be and strive and continue to do what God's called us to do and seek his will and not do our own will, we become eventually what he wants us to be. And we grow in that. Never give up thinking like, you know, no matter what I do, I can't accomplish this or I can't do it. Is it God's will we're doing? Or is it our will we're seeking? Are we yielding to the grace of God in our lives? Or are we pushing ahead, trying to make what we want to happen? And that's where prayer comes in, where prayer can say in our rosary, or our fathers, all of our prayers, reading the scriptures, that's when we become less of us and more of him, and you know it in your own life. But the more that happens, the more we become less of us and more of him, we literally are becoming, as he says, be perfect as I am perfect. It's a verb, be perfect. He doesn't say you're perfect as I am. He says be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be perfect. And the more we grow into all that God calls us to be, we are perfected along the way until the very day he calls us home. It's every moment of every day we have an opportunity to choose to be better, to choose to be more of him and less of ourselves. You know, our furnace, I don't know what happened to it, but our furnace today went out somewhere through the night. I know in the middle of the night I woke up freezing. And when I left to come here, we were waiting, you know, my son and my daughter-in-law were waiting for the people to come to fix or repair or do what needed to be done. But we were fortunate enough, at least we had a fireplace, we were all standing in front of it. And I said to my son, Brian, today, I mean, not because they're my kids, and I mean this, if they weren't mine, I'd look at their lives and I'd say, these are godly people. These are people who know, love, and serve the Lord. And I see that in Brian, who I live with, my son, and number 10, and my daughter-in-law. And so they were up against the fire, and I didn't see them early on until I came back after Mass, and they were out doing things. Brian was working in his office, and they were both up against the fire, you know, trying to take the chill off. And I said, you know something that happened today to me? When I came out of the room and saw that you had already had a fire going in the fireplace, I sat there too, doing just what you were doing. I got up next to it and tried to get warm. And I said, you know what? Automatically, I pray for the poor every day and the homeless. All those that have so much less than we have. But I went into a deep prayer today. I was experiencing feeling cold, and I'm living in a home that at least has a fireplace that can give some warmth, although it doesn't do a big house like that. And I said it brought me to pray more deeply, more compassionately, more seriously. It brought me into a deep prayer for the homeless. It brought me into a deep prayer for those who, especially I was praying for those who are living on the streets, the homeless, for those that are trying to find places of warmth who are just no place to go after that, don't know where to go after these fires. But especially my heart went out to those on the streets, homeless. And I prayed so deeply that God would give them dignity back. Dignity to know they're children of God and not to give up. To realize that God has a plan for their life too. So I got a caller coming in, but I'm going to take it. And it's those kinds of things that happen in our lives for a reason. I was praising God. I don't remember the last time I actually prayed particularly and specifically for the homeless people. I've even had negative feelings, if I'm honest before God, about them allowing the people to stay living on the street that way. It's unhealthy, and I think it's ungodly. So I prayed for all those people. All those people, that they would find the dignity to remember who they are, children of God. And I prayed that God would touch their lives and help them to be what God's called them to be and experience love and grace and mercy. Let me take this call. I don't have 2 hours today, so. Hi, Frank.
Good afternoon, Kathleen.
How are you?
I'm okay. I muted the tablet, but I did hear party saying your son Brian. Mm. I remember you have 33 grandkids. I think you have 13 kids. Is that right?
I have a little off there. I have 12 children, yes, 7 sons and 5 daughters. I have 61 great-grandchildren and 33 great-grandchildren.
Oh, great. I thought it was 33 grandkids.
No, 61 grands and 33 greats.
But you had 12 kids, right?
I do.
7 and 5,
yep.
You said?
Yep.
Were you the queen of pancakes?
Spaghetti, pancakes, you name it. Stews, soups, yep.
You were a professional short order cook.
Yes, indeed I was. But it wasn't short order. It seemed like sometimes that was never going to end, but it...
Well, every meal at your house was a Thanksgiving dinner. It was a big crowd at the table.
All the time, yep. And you know what, Frank? I would not have changed 1 minute, except for my own weakness, faults, and failings. I would not have changed 1 minute of all those years of my life raising my family. I cherished every single moment. It was filled with love, grace, and so many teaching opportunities to raise them in the way they should go, and I learned so much from them, from each and one of them growing up. So, yes, I was mightily blessed, yes.
That's what Lou says, a big family is a blessing.
It is. For me, it is.
You had so many kids, the hand-me-downs went out of style but came back in style.
That's exactly right. That's so true, Frank.
Maybe the middle one, it was out of style, but tough luck. But
yeah.
Then next one, I was back in style again.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Anyway, I just want to say hi, Kathleen. Enjoy it all the time.
I enjoy you calling in, Frank. You're always put a smile on my face and a beautiful little twink in my heart.
Say a prayer. I think it happened yesterday morning or Tuesday morning, I forget. A 17-year-old boy, I think it was Fell School somewhere in Northeast area. I heard a different story. His mom had dropped him off or whatever before school started.
Right.
He was shot 12. He was going to be going to college next year. He was a good basketball player, good student. He was shot 12 times and was killed.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
He's not a gangbanger. There's no signs of any kind of criminal activity. They're not sure why he was shot and killed. But, I mean, he's a senior in high school. He got scholarships lined up left and right.
Oh, my
He's a good student, good athlete. No record of being criminal. Just something happened. We don't know what happened.
Yeah. Evil happened.
There you go. I know. It's terrible.
Yeah. Well, we will lift him up today in prayer, and we'll all join. You know, I'll have to look that up. I missed that.
I think his first name was Noah. How about that?
Okay. How about that indeed?
Well, I think I'm not positive.
Well,
I forget them.
God knows who he is, and we lift that young man up, and I ask all our prayer warriors to join us as we pray today for all your needs, but especially imagine the heartbreak of that family. So may his soul rest in peace.
If his mom was dropping him off, she was right there.
Oh.
That's how it was reported. They heard someone in the doctor's office this afternoon say, nah, he was by himself, so who knows.
Yeah.
Either way, she got
gone, yeah.
She got knocked at the door, or she saw it. Either way, it just couldn't happen.
Yeah, please, let's lift that young man up and all his hopes and dreams and his parents' hopes and dreams and his family.
Yes.
There's so much evil in the world today, I'm telling you. This it's running rampant. That's why the beautiful prayer that we say, and it's been reinstituted again, and it should be at every single, after every single Mass.
There is a lot of evil out there, but there's that old saying, I forget who said it, but you and I are making it better, you and I.
That's right.
And all your prayer warriors.
Yep. And God will triumph.
If you add up your kids, your grandkids, your great-grandkids, be a small town somewhere.
Exactly right.
You have your own zip code.
That's true.
Thanks, yep. Kathleen.
God bless you, Tuesday. Frank. All right, darling. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Frank has become a real joy to me. He really has. you know, you hear stories like this and it just rocks your world. And, you know, I'm going to bring up another point today. I was thinking about, as he was talking about, this young man had all his hopes and dreams, all of his things in a row, all of his, you know, scholarships, played great sports, a good student, apparently no connection to crime and all that business. A kid that was full of hope, and evil snuffed him out in a minute. This is what I'm saying, why we all need to be ready. It's not, I'll be 82 in July. It's not just that old people die. You know, I was just saying to somebody, hey, I'm not going to last forever. I was just telling one of my grandchildren, Mom, you're going to go on and on. I said, I'm not going to go on and on. God's going to call me home just like he's going to call everybody else home in his perfect timing. But we don't know when his perfect timing is. We don't. He's out to save our souls, and he'll take us at the perfect time. Because we know our past, mea culpa. We know our present, mea culpa, for all the ways we fail every day. And praise him for all the wonderful things we're able to accomplish, the good things. But we don't know the future. None of us. Only God knows our future. And he knows what's down the road. And maybe, you know, souls would have been lost if their life went on. And it was at that perfect time he called them home. And that's why murder is such a mortal sin. It's because it takes that person, you know, and doesn't give them an opportunity to be prepared. But all of us should be prepared. Well, you know, when I get out of bed in the morning, I told you, man, the first thing I do, I wake up with a song in my heart. Even when it was cold, I remember saying, baby, that's just what I said getting out of bed. It was so cold. I was trying to see what was wrong. I said, baby, it's cold outside. If we start the day with a tiny prayer, a song in our heart, thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. Thank you, Lord, for this day. I pray that you will give me the grace to see you in everything, every moment of this day. And I ask you to fill me with your Holy Spirit that I may do that. That takes not even a minute. But what a beautiful way to start your day. So I know we only have a couple minutes left. I never did get the gospel, so I don't think she heard me, and I didn't want to, you know, just go off on it. I wanted to read it. And I want you to realize, like this, you know, fireplace today, you know, bright fire burning. What keeps that burning is those logs staying together. My son, my daughter-in-law, stoking that, right? Keeping those logs close together. And when the logs are removed, or when they burn away and you don't bring others to replace it, the fire goes out. The fire goes out. But it burns and rages when that fresh wood is put in. So somebody has to put those fresh blocks of wood in, or branches, or restart the fire with paper and twigs, and then bring in the, you know, the logs. So we have to do our part. You know, Chrissy, Brian, they were doing their part of stoking it when the fire was going out at one point early. They went out and got more wood to put on the fire. And if those, if he put them in and he didn't, you know, make them touch each other, if he just threw them in randomly and they fell like far away from each other, the fire would not burn. It's keeping the logs together that keeps the fire burning. And that's how it should be with the family of God. Coming in unity. Coming together. Hey, I'm not going to kid you. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say always. Hey, what you see is what you get here. My children, you know, they say many times, my grandchildren, you are who you are, Mama. Whether you're in public or whether you're sitting here in a room in a house. I hope that's true. I hope that's true. But I'll tell you what, and we all need to remember this. We shall always remember that God does enkindle a fire in our hearts at baptism. We're no longer pagans. We become his children, children of God. And we have to do our part to keep that. He gives us the fire, right? He gives us the fire of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. It comes from him, not from us. He does his part first. But then we're called to do our part. We're called to rekindle the fire when it grows dim, when life and circumstances try to put it out. A smoldering wick he will never quench. And as long as there's a little flicker of that fire within us, he will fan the flame, but he'll do it through us. So it's he and I together. He and I. One of the greatest books I ever read in my life, I still carry it. He and I. I tell you this, God is in control of everything. I might not like, I didn't vote for Joe Biden, but I wish him the very best. I really do. And I've prayed for him. I have prayed for every president that's ever been in, whether I liked him or not. Because if the president doesn't do well, it's like flying in a plane and hating your pilot. If that pilot goes down, you're going with him. He's got your destiny in his hands behind that airplane. So I always pray for our presidents, whether I voted for them, whether I didn't. But I do pray. I do pray. I pray that always God purifies my heart. I know when I heard those words last night in his talk when he said, you know, he's done all these things, I didn't agree with it. But that did not even dampen or give me a angry feeling in my heart. What it gave me is to pray for him, that he realizes, that he has to realize that part of this deal that just was brokered with Hamas and the Israelis, it wasn't him alone. And I believe when he said, don't, wasn't hard enough and strong enough for people that are that evil. I think that when they work together, outgoing President Biden and incoming President Trump, when they work together and their teams work together, success will always come. Keep the logs together. Build unity. Build the fire of God's love. Let it fire up and inflame our hearts. And let's take that fire out to others. The fire can do two things. It can destroy. It can fascinate people that they can't even take their eyes off of fire. It can warm. It can bring together. So I tell you truly, remember this. God is about bringing unity. He's the only one can. Others will try. President Trump will try. President Biden tried. All the people that voted for him, he promised unity. But only God can bring us true unity in the power of the Holy Spirit. He alone can sanctify us from the inside out by that fire of the Spirit, burning away all those things that would stifle the Spirit of God at work in us. to become on fire for Jesus and in unity with the Spirit to do with me as you will. God bless you, and God willing, I will see you Tuesday.